Together we will stand, fight until fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together.
Good morning and welcome to Neighbors. It's a call-in interview show where we're offering you the opportunity to all band together and experience this, go through these exciting and troubling and disturbing times together. Our two-week stay-at-home order, of course, issued by the Minnesota governor yesterday, so we've got that. Also, we had a couple of folks call just as we were going off the air on Tuesday who wanted to share their tips for getting through the boring times. We hope they call back this morning. The number to call if you'd like to take part in the discussion, 218-726-7181, just like during the membership drive, but no membership drive. 218-726-7181. Make a note of that number. Keep it handy, and we'll be asking for your calls coming up in the next half hour. Joining us on the phone this morning is Cook County businessman Mike Larson. He and his co-owner, co-partner of Cascade Vacation Rentals made the decision last week to shut down the rental business. And we're talking about folks that are living and doing business in vacation land, Minnesota and Wisconsin, this morning. Hey, Mike, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you guys made the decision last week. There started to be a conversation that was sort of bubbling up on social media, and I gather on the streets of Grand Marais and other communities where folks were saying, you're fleeing bigger towns, you're coming up here to your vacation place or you're renting a vacation place, but we're scared of A, getting coronavirus, and B, we're worried that our infrastructure, in particular our hospitals, our grocery stores, whatever, can't handle this extra influx of people. So you guys made the decision before any shelter-in-place orders came down from anywhere or the county board took any action to shut down your vacation rentals. What contributed to that decision? How did you come to that decision?
Well, so let me start with this, if I can. I love your extended forecast. We're going to be nearly 50 degrees this weekend.
Yes.
So that's encouraging to me. And by the way, this too shall pass. We're going to get past this. We're going to look for those bright days again. We're going to look for our healthy tourism economy in Cook County. It will be here. You know, we're all being caught up with the news. So I'm an optimist by nature. I'm wired that way. But notwithstanding the fact that, you know, we got to try to make some smart decisions here. So to answer your question, by the way, I don't want to make this trivial. By any means, but this was not a difficult decision, and let me tell you why. It actually, when I think it was a week ago, you know,
Monday felt like Wednesday to me.
Yeah, well, yeah. So it was a week ago Wednesday when the governor was still having his live press conferences that, you know, I listened intently, like most of us, and that's where it became really very clear to me, without hesitation. I mean, Governor Waltz restated, you know, that the state of Minnesota is making all possible efforts to flatten the curve, to not overwhelm our healthcare system. We all know that, right? He encouraged, and again, this was a week ago. He encouraged non-essential travel at that time, well before the shelter-in-place thing. He asked for personal sacrifice of all Minnesotans, and he asked us to act quickly. So it was like at his press conference, I think it was at 2. My business partner, Steve, is working from home. I called him. I said, the governor's asking us to act quickly. Let's act quickly. And we did. There was no hesitation. And listen, by the way, I'm not suggesting that was easy. It was very difficult. I mean, we employ people. We have families. We're no different than anybody else. And again, I want to be really clear. This is by no means suggestion that, you know, we were ahead of the curve, where, you know, we did the right thing. It's not that at all. So the governor asked us to act quickly. He's surrounding himself by really smart people. a lot smarter than. And so we acted, and it was not that hard. So we immediately shut down all of our rental operations. We managed about 100 during the winter, maybe 100 plus properties. In the summer, over 175. And we had to make those hard calls to people who were coming up on their vacations, spring break, and said, you know, we are closing down our operations. And I can tell you that I think almost unequivocally, we maybe had one guest who was, you know, disturbed by our decision. But otherwise, people go, I get it. Thank you.
Talking to Steve, I had the opportunity to chat with him a little bit about this, too. And he said the rentals were in high demand. And I would imagine that as the week wore on, as the situation, you know, the situation changes day to day. And it seems like at this point it may be this way for a while, that it kind of gets a little bit more dire or a little bit more concerning every day. And he said the rentals were in high demand. He said we could have made a ton of money. But he said if anything had happened to somebody, you know, if someone had gotten sick, and he kind of intimated we didn't want to be those guys. You know, we didn't want to have
right. That,
you guys didn't want to have that on your consciences if, you know, the idea was anything for a buck and somehow somebody had a bad health outcome because of that decision.
Well, you know, I think, you know, he put that well. It also even predates, you know, for us, it predates the governor's meeting back on Wednesday. I think it was March 18th. Our healthcare professionals up here, they are so outstanding. And I received a call a week, I don't know, again, I can't remember, about 2 weeks ago on a Friday from Dr. Parshman, who's the lead guy up here. And he said, Mike, you know, can you help our medical community up here? And I think as Steve shared with you, and I think most of your listeners may be aware, I mean, we're just simply rural. I mean, we're basically at the end of the road. We only have six doctors and matching nurses to go with that. We're a small medical facility. And everyone's learning these new words and these new terms. I think flatten the curve, and we have no capacity up here. Zero.
So when I talked with Steve, he used an interesting phrase. He talked about the fragility of the medical system. And he said when you're dealing with a medical system in a rural area like this, he said, as you mentioned, six doctors, 16 beds, and he said the only ventilator we have, he said, we don't have a surgeon. We're not delivering babies up here anymore. He said, if something happens to somebody, there's a portable ventilator that the idea is this is going to keep you alive until you can get to Duluth. But for a lot of medical emergencies, people are either being airlifted to Duluth or it's a, you know, what, an hour and a half? I can't remember the drive, but it's a generous ambulance trip over highway, I want to say 2, but it's not highway 2. Anyway, it's
Highway 61.
Highway 61. Jeez,
Bob Dylan
is so ashamed of me somewhere.
Exactly.
But it's not, I mean, Highway 61 is a great highway and everything, but I mean, it's kind of bumpy. It's got some spots where it's not really driver friendly.
Yeah, well, and you take that information and you couple with the fact that we are not only a rural community, we're also we have an aging population of people who live here year-round. So we already have an aging population, and as we all know, those are the folks that are most vulnerable.
Cook County has the second highest percentage of people 65 or older in the state.
Yes.
I don't know what the others. The other state could be Olmsted, maybe. I don't know.
So combine the simple facts. The simple facts, not the complicated facts. Because the simple facts is aging population, rural community, end of the road. Yeah, and by the way, we feel blessed. I feel blessed to live here. It's a beautiful area. I've been able to raise my family here. I have my business here. It's a very special place. We all know that. But you combine the kind of the basic fundamental effects of what we have here in Cook County, we are more than fragile. I mean, we just do not have any capacity. And so, yeah, hard decisions, but again, not difficult in light of when you just take a look at what we have here on the medical side. This is all about our medical professionals up here in Cook County, and frankly, they're doing an outstanding job. They've been way, way out in front of this. Several weeks they had gathered the business community to start talking about this. So I'm just going to, hats off to them. We're just following their lead, as we should. They're smart. They're educated. They're on top of this daily. We're following the governor. I think Governor Walz has been eloquent. He's done an outstanding job. Difficult decisions. I think there's a comment, I probably won't say it right, but Governor Walz in one of his earlier press conferences said something. A reporter asked him a question, and maybe the question was a little controversial, but he just said, look, there's going to be plenty of time for criticism, but this is not the time. We got to turn into this right now.
Like, so, you say, act quickly. And
yep, act quickly, and we did.
And
by the way,
oh, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. Steve and I, we employ, we employ a lot of people. They have families. They have young children in school. We understand the implications. This is hard. But again, I'm going to go back to your weather forecast. It might be 50 degrees this weekend. That's a moment of, that's good news. And there's going to be good news coming out of this. But right now, it's hard. And there's going to be damage. Make no mistake about it. The economy. It's going to get hurt. But we're doing everything we can to try to do the right things at the time.
One of the brighter spots about this is the idea that when everyone is suffering, the idea is it isn't simply one sector of the economy that's maybe taking a hit. And when that happens, the general attitude is kind of like, oh, yeah, too bad. But, for example, when the governor was realizing that, a lot of people were being laid off, suddenly it became easier to apply for unemployment, and that process was streamlined, and there was a quicker approval, and there was a little more time on unemployment. And so when it starts to affect everybody, then there are more supports in place, I hope, to make it possible for people. The Cook County Board of Commissioners on Tuesday, then, they apparently had been hearing enough from constituents and from social media and whatever about this concern. They approved a travel advisory. This was Tuesday. And, of course, yesterday the governor said, everybody stay home. So they took that step. Here's another number that I thought was interesting, that tourism is more than 80% of the economy in Cook County. So how are you? You said that when you made the decision to close your rentals, that you pretty much only got pushback from one person. But how has the business community already started troubleshooting? How are we going to how are we gonna walk this back when the danger's over? How are we gonna? I mean, if fences need to be mended, how are we gonna mend those fences? And how are we going to keep these people with the summer homes and who like to vacation here? How are we going to keep them on our good side?
That's a great question. I don't believe that, so again, we have to look to our leaders, right? And to those who are in the trenches on this on a daily basis. So again, I just go back to our governor. He has, he's surrounded himself by top-notch people. Like probably most of your listeners, I listen to him every day. I listen to our medical professions up here. We listen to our county leaders. Our county board did, in fact, put out a travel advisory, basically encouraging no travel up here. It was not, as you know, by resolution, meaning that it's enforceable. It's not enforceable. But I think when we all look back, people are going to understand. I don't believe I'm hopeful. Maybe it's just by the way I'm wired by DNA. Is that I don't think there's going to be the requirement to mend a lot of fences. People are going to understand.
I think there's so much that's happening that we're reacting and we're not. And I really don't mean this critically, but I think we're reacting, but we're not taking a moment to kind of think through the implications. I think if I lived in a bigger town, for some people, Duluth is plenty big enough. But I mean, for example, if I did live in the cities, it would absolutely be at the very top of my mind to say, too many people crowded into too small a space. I need to get out of here. And I should go and visit my mom in Western Minnesota, or I should do whatever. And so I don't think that people necessarily, and I kind of asked Steve about this a little bit too. I mean, because he kind of alluded to the idea that people were sort of thinking, we got to get out into the wide open spaces. It'll be safer somehow without thinking it through. You know, your thought processes didn't extend to, you know, oh, well, they, you know, the grocery store is set up to serve, you know, 1,000 people, not 20,000 people or 30,000 people or whatever it might be.
So here's the thing. The goalposts move every day, right?
Oh, boy,
so
yes.
Every day. But I think that, you know, when this settles, and it will, we know it's going to go on for some time, but there's a point we'll move forward. You know, there's some good news here, and you know you have to try to kind of peel through some of the, you know, some of the doom and gloom. But yeah, sure, we can. We're a tourism based economy. That is our bread and butter. But you know, April's coming up. It's a slower time of a year for us. You know, May is a little bit slower. I mean, you know, we kind of mirrored Duluth a little bit, and then we know what happens during the summer. It gets really busy. And so we don't know exactly how this is going to play out. We're hopeful. We have basically closed as most of the businesses up here, the lodging businesses, through the month of April. And, you know, we'll be reevaluating on a day-to-day basis because I think the goalposts change every day. You know, just look at what the governor did yesterday and then a week before.
Think about, as you mentioned when you were talking about, I think when Steve was talking about the fragility of the medical system, and then the governor mentioned yesterday that there's only 235 ICU beds in the state.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And that, to me, I grew up in Rochester. Medical care was nothing that we really fretted about very much.
Right.
But that was really a shock to me. And that really did obviously get me thinking, because if you or somebody that you love needs one of those ICUs, it takes on a different complexion. This, by the way, is Neighbors. It's a new call-in interview program that we're bringing you Tuesdays and Thursdays for a while so that we can connect and share experiences as we go through these interesting times. Our call-in number, if you'd like to take part in the conversation, 218-726-7181, 726-7181. Cook County businessman Mike Larson is our guest this morning. I would imagine, though, that there is plenty of, that there probably has already been a lot of reaching out of local business people to their regular customers that they realize may have wanted to come up and aren't able to right now.
Yeah, I just think our messaging is pretty consistent throughout the county. It's not an easy message. I'm going to throw myself under the bus a little bit, because I can tell you, as a business person running this, it was probably 3 weeks ago when several of us got together going, wow, I mean, look what's happening with this COVID-19, and, it's kind of coming this way. And boy, Cook County could become a sanctuary. I mean, at one point, we were thinking this may be a great place for people to retreat. So, you know, this is how quickly the information changes, right? And so, that's kind of would be a natural thought, maybe intuitive in thinking. But again, I'm just going to throttle back. I'm just going to continue to throttle back and look at our medical community. And I raised three kids here in Cook County, and I think all three of them had their fair spent a fair amount of time in the emergency room for cuts and broken bones and whatever else, ski accidents. But I can't, don't quote me on this, but I think there's two beds in there. And it's a smaller emergency room.
Right.
I'm just going to continue to circle back to that. They're doing an outstanding job. We just have limited, extremely, like Steve would say, it's fragile. It's more than fragile. And so even when you think about it, think about the innocence of it. Let's just go up and go for a hike. We're coming up to waterfall season, and what if there's a slip of fall and a bad head injury? I mean, it's we need to kind of think that way,
right?
Just basic daily accidents that happen. So if we're just really, really trying to tamper down on all of that,
right?
This too shall pass. We're going to get past this. But right now is just a critical time, and it's really, in the big picture, hopefully we'll all be able to look back in September and October and tell stories. And it's going to hurt. I mean, make no mistake about it. The economic damage is going to be significant, but I think we can get past it. And this, like the governor said, this is a time for asking Minnesotans for personal sacrifice to act quickly. I'm just going to circle back again to our medical community here. They're outstanding, and we just have, zero tolerance for any additional load that's just not otherwise needed here.
Mike, thank you so very, very much for taking some time to talk with us about it this morning. It was a great pleasure to talk with you, and I hope we have the opportunity to talk with you again when things are back up and running. And thanks again for the gift of your time. I appreciate it.
Hey, let's do that. Will you do that? Let's put it on our calendar sometime, and we'll have a different conversation with a little brighter outlook.
I think that'd be great. Thanks so much, Mike.
Awesome.
Mike Larson joined us this morning as our guest. He's a Cook County businessman. He and his business partner have Cascade Vacation Rentals, and talking about the concerns that folks have been raising in different parts of our Northland who live in smaller rural communities where folks love to visit and love to vacation. They're concerned about their resources and about being able to handle an influx of visitors. What do you think about it? What's your situation? Have you noticed that people are coming to Duluth and they're fleeing maybe bigger places? They're coming to Duluth. Is this something you're concerned about? Did you want to head further north and now you feel like you can't? Or had you planned to head south to the cities maybe in search of maybe more plentiful medical care? 218-726-7181 is the call. 218-726-7181. This is our little call-in interview show, Neighbors, and we're going to be doing this Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 o'clock for a while, giving you the opportunity to do everything from voice your concerns, talk about things that you're worried about. Maybe you want to give a shout out to a group or an organization that you think is doing great things in the community and you want people to know about that. Maybe you've got great coping tips. Maybe you, like our caller from Tuesday, that we were just a moment too late to get on the air, have good ideas for getting through the boring times. Maybe you're the person who's been troubleshooting everybody's meetings from home. We want to hear from you. Give us a call this morning. 218-726-7181. 218-726-7181.
If you need me, I want you to call me. If you need me, all you gotta do is call me. Don't wait too long.
103.3 KUMD Neighbors on KUMD until about 10:30 this morning. Couple of great places that we've discovered online where you can find some really good information. On Facebook, Virtual Duluth. And they have a post at the top of their Facebook site with Today in a Nutshell. The YMCA had something that started half an hour ago called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Beginning Ballet is on at 11, at 11:30. Live Zumba at 11:30. Community Bear Hunt. Duluth Public Library is doing that. I don't even want to know. Burn the Floor Dance, Duluth Playhouse. Life Goes On, Annie Humphrey at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Mad Science Experiments through the YMCA. A live magic show at 7 p.m. tonight. Campfire Songs at 7 p.m. Superior Shorts tonight at 8. And Making It Watch Party from WDSE. That's going on at 8 o'clock. So there's some great online resources. This morning we had a conversation with Margie Preuss. She's got a couple of brand new books that have just been released. One is called Village of Scoundrels. The other is The Littlest Voyageur. And the book launch mayhem thing is going to be going on online. It was supposed to take place live and in color, and then it had to take place online because, you know, coronavirus. But that's okay. So she'll be doing some live readings, and she'll have that information available on her website when you might be able to find those. You look for Margie Preuss Books, and we'll get a link set up, by the way, to her website, but she's also on Facebook under Margie Preuss Books. Another really interesting website that we've discovered here on KUMD is COVID-19 Watch Duluth, and that's a Facebook group. And there is some information there about folks that are interested in sewing masks. We've had a story about that also. We've got some information about that on our website, and that's something else that you can certainly check out. There is someone on the group who says that she was thinking about making YouTube videos to help kids with their schoolwork. She's a licensed teacher, and she spent about 20 years in the classroom. And so she was thinking, hey, maybe that would be sort of helpful. So if you've got ideas, things that you would like to, ideas you'd like to run up the flagpole and see what people think, things that you want to give a shout out to folks about, maybe you've got ideas for getting through the boring times. It could get a little bit more boring before it gets less boring. It could be that way for the next couple of weeks. We're encouraging you to take advantage of this opportunity here on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 o'clock, our show, Neighbors. A little bit of interview, a little bit of conversation with you, and you could even just call up and say hi to somebody who's far away, somebody you are socially distant from, or maybe you've got an idea for an overworked, overwhelmed group that you think deserves some special love, a shout out. Maybe you want to organize some kind of a thing. We had the opportunity on Tuesday to talk about a group called Look Out for the Helpers that is providing hot coffee and pastries and sandwiches to healthcare workers around the Northland. They're pulling together some money to provide some nice snacks for our beleaguered health care workers. Also in Grand Rapids, as a matter of fact, the Timberlake Lodge was offering free coffee to all healthcare workers, truck drivers, law enforcement, and first responders. So there you go. If you got something like that that you're cooking and you want to let people know about, we'd like to hear from you. Okay, so this is sort of questionable. I mean, it's not questionable. It's really good information, but this person on this Facebook group had a genius idea. One of the things that is apparently one of the ways that it can be easy to catch coronavirus, one of the surfaces that's a culprit is gas pump handles. And if you've got these vinyl gloves, you really should let the healthcare workers have those. This person posted a picture. She says, use a dog poop bag. They're super inexpensive, and you can throw them away after you've stuck your hand in there, used it to fill up the gas, and then you can throw it away without necessarily feeling bad about it. Also, one of my coworkers pointed out, paper towels. If there's paper towels there, paper towels could also do the same thing. Make a note of the number, 218-726-7181, 218-726-7181, and we'll take your calls, your concerns, your shout-outs, your ideas Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m. until we get through this goofy time, right here on KUMD.